It is our honor tonight to invite our guest speaker, Hujjatul Islam wal Muslimin, Sheikh Mustafa Araki, who is going to be speaking to us about the jihad of clarification, our immediate duty today. We humbly invite him with another salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونستنصره ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم أنبيائه وأفضل سفرائه حبيبنا وطبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الهداة المهديين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening of the reappearance of our holy 12th Imam and to the souls of the demised ulama, especially Imam Khomeini and all the respected maraji that we are demised and we lack their presence today, please recite aloud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. أما بعد فقد قال مولانا أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام أما والذي فلق الحبة وبرأ النسمة لولا حضور الحاضر وقيام الحجة بوجود الناصر لألقيت حبلها على غاربها ولسقيت آخرها بكأس أولها ولألفيتم أن دنياكم هذه أزهد عندي من عطفة عنز. First of all, I present my congratulations for the auspicious birth of the holy imams, Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Zain al-Abidin, and Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhim salam. These holy lights whom we follow their footsteps in all the aspects of our life. Our Imam, the holy third Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the Sayyid al-Shuhada, the master of the martyrs, and the master of the youth of heaven. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, in this auspicious night, grant us his intercession in the hereafter and help us to follow their luminous steps and to follow their luminous path in this life, insha'Allah. The topic of discussion, as you all know and has been announced by the brother, is the jihad of clarification our immediate duty today. I want to start this topic by referring to this very important sermon by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, which is famous by the title Khutbat Shaqshaqiyyah. This sermon was delivered by Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam at the time of his Khilafat. The Holy Imam mentions in this very important sermon, which incorporates very important points with regards to the relation between the Imam and Ummah. It also incorporates very important traditions with regards to the duties that the Imam has with respect to the Ummah and the duty that the Ummah has with respect to the Imam. أما والذي فلق الحبة وبرأ النسمة. By the one who split the grain and who created the living creatures. If it wasn't for the presence of the masses, لولا حضور الحاضر وقيام الحجة بوجود الناصر. If it wasn't for the presence of the masses and the proof established by the attendance of the supporters, and if it wasn't for the pledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken from the learned to not keep silent and to not consent against the oppressors, against the greed of the oppressors, and to not remain silent in watching the oppressed in oppression. If it wasn't for these, I would have cast the rope of Khilafat on its shoulders, and I would have abandoned this duty from myself. The Holy Imam is mentioning two very important conditions for the Imam to be present in the arena of the society for guiding the society. Firstly, the presence of the masses. لولا حضور الحاضر. The relation between the Imam and the Ummah, the relation between the divine leader and the people who follow him, is a mutual relation. In mantiq, we call it tadayuf. The relation that a person, or you could say the father, has with its son is relation of tadayuf. If there is no father, if there is a father, there should be a son. Without the presence of the father, there is no son. If there is a son, there should be a father for that son as well. If there is an imam, there should be an ummah for that imam. If there is no ummah, there is no imam. An ummah is a group of individuals who are associated to one another through a certain values and certain beliefs. So the Imam is saying, if it wasn't for the presence of the masses and the proof that was established through the attendance of the supporters, لَأَلْقَيْتُ غَارِبَهَا لَأَلْقَيْتُ حَبْلَهَا عَلَى غَارِبَهَا. I would have cast the rope of Khilafa on his shoulders. I would have abandoned this duty. The Holy Imam is mentioning that the masses, the Ummah, has a duty with respect to the Imam, towards the Imam. Firstly, they should be present. They should announce their presence. They should announce that we are there for you to obey you. This is the first condition for the Ummah to follow the footsteps of the Imam and for the Imam to be present and to lead the nation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The divine leader, for him to be present and to guide the people, he needs the Ummah. The Ummah comes to the Imam and declares their presence towards the Imam. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمِيثَاقَهُ الَّذِي وَاثَقَكُمْ بِهِ إِذْ قُلْتُمْ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. There are two very important pledges that the faithful and the believers have towards their holy divine leader. The first pledge that they have, the first pledge that they should be allegiance to in order to follow the footsteps of the Imam, in order to be present for the Imam, in order to consider themselves the followers of that Imam, is obedience. Without obedience, without a person being obedient to their imam, to the person who they follow, there is no relation between that follower and that divine leader. If you want to be connected to that divine leader, the first step is obedience. The first and the utmost important, the most important condition is obedience. Ta'a. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. And this is mentioned in the Quran. It is a tradition. It is a condition and a pledge. Ahd. Mithaq. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it explicitly in his holy verses. And the holy Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen is referring to this condition, to this pledge. لَوْلَا حُضُورُ الْحَاضِرُ وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Remember Allah's pledge over you. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمِيثَاقَهُ الَّذِي. And the pledge that Allah bound you with. إِذْ قُلْتُمْ سَمِعْنَا. Once you said, we heard your message and we obeyed it. إِذْ قُلْتُمْ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. This is the first condition of being a follower of the divine leader. The second pledge that the mu'mineen and the faithful have towards their divine leader is the pledge of assistance. Assisting your divine leader with all your being, with all your positions, with all your life, with whatever you have. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. Look how beautiful this holy verse is. How Allah is describing the relation between the follower of the Imam, a person who is devoted to his Imam and who is following his footsteps, and the Imam himself. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَأَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah is making a deal with these loyal servants of his. Allah is buying, he's purchasing the lives and the possessions of the mu'mineen in turn for paradise. This is how they deal with Allah. This is how they bargain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we see in the lives of these sincere servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see the life of Imam Khomeini, when you go and look over to the life of Shaheed Qasim Soleimani, this is how they are acting. Whatever they have, they give in the way of Allah subhanahu. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ وَأَنفُسَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ. This is a definite promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Tawrat, in the Bible, and in the Qur'an. So they are assisting their divine leader with all their possessions. They are bargaining with their Lord by giving what they have for their Lord. You see the glimpse of these in the plain of Karbala when Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, he gave whatever he had for Imam Hussein until his last drop of blood when he was on the plain of Karbala on the ground. Yes, they are bargaining with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are assisting the divine leader through all their beings, through all their possessions. Whatever they have, they give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَوْلَا حُضُورُ الْحَاضِرُ وَقِيَامُ الْحُجَّةِ بِوُجُودِ النَّاصِرِ. If he wasn't for the presence of the masses and the proof that was established by the presence, by the attendance of the supporters, I wouldn't have any duty on my shoulders. لَأَلْقَيْتُ حَبْلَهَا عَلَىٰ غَارِبِهَا. I didn't have any duty in that case. And then the holy Imam says, if he wasn't for the presence of the masses and the support of the supporters, and if he wasn't for the pledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from the learned, from the scholars, tonight remain silent in front of the oppressors. That's the third one. Every single individual has a degree of Allah's knowledge and understanding of the true message. Every single individual. Me, a talaba in Hawza of Ilmi of Qum, I have a degree of knowledge. A person not in the Hawza, studying in the university, studying in school, wherever he is, he has a degree of knowledge regarding Allah, regarding the Messenger, regarding the message of the Holy Prophet of Islam. And with respect to that degree of knowledge, they have a certain duty to fulfill. وَمَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ أَلَّا يُقَارُّ عَلَىٰ كِذَّةِ ظَالِمٍ, to not consent for the oppression, for the greed of the oppressions. وَلَا سَغَبِ مَظْلُومٍ, and to not remain silent, to see the mazloom being so oppressed. You have a duty when you see that the oppressors are oppressing the mazlumin, the oppressed, you shouldn't remain silent. You have a duty to fulfill. You have to go. You have to do the jihad of clarification. The supreme leader of the Islamic Republic, Ayatollah al-Uzma Imam Khamenei, Hafizahullah, in his recent lectures and speeches, he has consecutively mentioned this very important point, this duty of every single mu'min, the duty of jihad of tabiyin, the jihad of clarification. In his last speech, which was about a month ago, when His Eminence was mentioning and was explaining the reasons behind these riots that were going on in the country, he mentioned that the most important tool that the enemies are utilizing in order to deceive the masses is the tool of propaganda. Propaganda. They are using the media, the cyberspace, in order to deceive the people and in order to deviate the mindset of the people from its true path. They are using whatever means they have. This is the most important tool that they are using. And this means that today, the enemies of Islam, they have become despair of confrontation, of confronting the Islamic Ummah through military means. Military confrontation for them has finished. The time for that is over because they didn't get to what they wanted. They see that today, military confrontation has no logical reason to be applied. Iran and the whole region, the resistance in all the region, in Iran, in Lebanon, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, all these united resisting forces, they are all so strong that the enemies could not confront these united figures through military means. So, instead, they have come to another tool. They've come to utilize another means in order to confront these movement of the Muslims in this region and in the whole world. And that is the tool of propaganda. He says, His Eminence, the most important tool that the enemy used in these riots was propaganda and enticement of people through cyberspace and the Western Arabic and Hebrew media. And Ayatollah Khamenei, in the same speech, he mentions a document that was recently published, a classified document that was recently declassified and was published by one of the very important US institutions, in which, in this document, it's been mentioned that the American president at that time, Jimmy Carter, he ordered the CIA to overthrow the Islamic Republic, not through military means. This is a very important point. He ordered the CIA to overthrow the Islamic Republic through means of propaganda. So this order, this document means that the president of the United States gave a blank check to CIA to go whatever you can do in order to cause propaganda against the values of the Muslims, the Islamic Republic, in order to stop them from their mission. This is the meaning of this document. To use whatever means you have to fight against this mission and this movement, this Islamic and luminous movement of the Islamic Republic and all the people who are following the same path of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi. And Imam Khamenei, hafizahullah, he mentions in the same issue that the only way to counter this plot of the enemy is through the jihad of clarification. Jihad, as you know, you all, probably most of you are talibah, means to put in the utmost of your effort in order to achieve your goal. This means jihad. This is what jihad means. Jihad means to put whatever ability that you have, all the means, all the ability that you have, in a certain mission, in a certain task. This is the meaning of jihad. So jihad of clarification means that every single individual, whether you are a Hausa student, whether you are a student in university, whoever you are, wherever you are, the Imam Khomeini mentions this explicitly, that whoever has any means, any platform, in order to clarify the values of Islam, the values of this revolution, they must act according to this duty. They must do the jihad of clarification. So, propaganda is at the core of enemy's scheme in fighting against the Islamic frontier. And the jihad of clarification, as put by the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Republic, is the only way to counter it. With regards to these two pledges that I mentioned, that the mu'mineen and the faith will have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the messenger, the holy divine messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I mentioned, the first pledge is the pledge of obedience, and the second is the pledge of assistance, supporting the divine leader of Allah through whatever means you have. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. Imam Khomeini, حفظه الله, is calling us to assist him with whatever means we have for clarifying and for removing the doubts regarding the values of this mission that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, began in the revolution that he started in 1979. So people, through the revolution, these two pledges that I mentioned at the time of the Holy Prophet and after the demise of the Holy Prophet, these two pledges were undermined. People did not act to their duty. They did not bind to these two alleges, these pledges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had entitled them to bind to. But through the revolution of the Islamic Republic, when Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi came forward and told the people, this is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the people who heard the call of Imam Khomeini, they heard the truth in the word of Imam Khomeini, they said labbaik to him. Through this labbaik, they came back to that allegiance, to that pledge that they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pledge of obedience and the pledge of nusrah and assisting the divine leader of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Labbaik ya Khamenei, labbaik ya Khomeini. The Supreme Leader of the Islamic Republic, last year, that's year 1400, when he had his meeting with the Air Force, the generals of the Air Force in the Islamic Republic, on every year, the Supreme Leader, he has a special meeting on the 19th of Bahman with the Air Force, the generals in the Air Force of the Islamic military in Iran. Last year when Imam Khamenei, he had his visit and his meeting with these Air Force generals, he elaborated on the concept of the Jihad of Tabyin. He went over the incident that took place in year 1979 and he explained the stance and the importance and the significance of what the Air Force generals did on the 19th of Bahman 1979. At the time of Shah, the Royal Air Force at the time of Shah, in the military, in the different divisions of the military, the only division, the only section in which the Air Force, in which the generals were educated and were sent to the US in order to be educated and instructed to come back to the country to service in the Air Force, was the Air Force. Anybody who wanted to become a member of the Air Force, they were supposed to go to the US to be taught, to be taught and instructed to graduate in the Air Force and then come back to become a pilot or a person, a member of the Air Force in the country. They were called Humafaran. The generals in the Air Force were called Humafaran. In the process of the revolution in 1979, when all the sections of people, all the divisions, all the different kinds of people, they joined the revolution, it was only the military who was left to join the revolution. Nobody accepted from the different sections and divisions of the military that the Air Force would be the first division who would join and who would call the bake for the call of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi. On the 19th of Bahman, this incident happened. And to the surprise of all those who were in the military, and especially the US forces themselves, it's been mentioned, the Supreme Leader mentions this, that Haiza, who was a senior commander in NATO, and he was also a US military commander, he was sent by the US to Iran in order to manage and to control the situation in the military in Iran and prevent the state to be toppled, basically. He came to Iran, but he wasn't able to do anything. The US told them that you have the permission to carry out any operation that you find necessary in the country. If it was to kill the masses, hundreds of people, you have the permission to do in order to hold Shah in place. This was his duty. He came to the Islamic Republic, but he wasn't able to do anything. He says that when I saw the people in the military, in the Air Force, who were instructed by ourselves, who were graduated in our colleges in US, when they come back to Iran, they call and they pay allegiance and they do bay'ah, they do pledge with Imam Khomeini. I said that the work and the job is finished. We can't do anything after this. Imam Khomeini, hafizahullah, he's mentioning and shedding light on this very important incident. He said that this incident had several characteristics, several features that made it very, very important. First, he mentions that it was very precise and very expressive narration. The narration that narrated this incident was very precise, was very accurate. When you see the photograph that was published for this incident, you see a group, a large number of generals standing in front of Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi, and they paying military salutation to Imam Khomeini. And this photograph was published in all the world. Everybody in the world saw that photograph. The look, Khomeini has taken over. The work is finished. Although the revolution was not succeeded, the victory was not gained at that point in time. But when that photograph was finished, the effect that that photograph had on the mind of the people was this, that the job of this revolution is over now. They have taken over. The preciseness and the expression that this narration had that effect. And that's very important. In Jihad of Tabin, this is a very important issue. That you should be very precise in your narration. You should be accurate. You should be on time as well. That's the second important feature, characteristic of this incident. On time. If that photograph was published 10 days later, 2 days later, it didn't have that effect. That's the second important effect. You should be on time. The jihad of clarification has its own time. You should be very accurate with regards to the timing of your clarification and your jihad and your action. You should know what time is the time that you should go into action and to explain the doubts that people have in their minds. Timing is very important. Timing. And another feature that this incident had, it was to the surprise of all the people. Nobody expected that out of all the divisions of the military, the Air Force would come forth and pay allegiance to Imam Khomeini. This feature of having a sense of surprise in itself, that's also very effective in the Jihad of Tabin. A place where the enemy is not expecting, that's where is a very effective time to go into action. The policy of the enemy is to distort the facts. This is one of the challenges that the person who wants to do Jihad of Tabin has. The policy of the enemies of Islam is to distort the realities, to distort the facts. Through the Jihad of Tabin, through explaining the facts and the truth behind the messages of Islam, you can stop the enemies from distorting the messages. Acting on time would have the same effect. Surprise attack has a very, very important effect on the Jihad of Tabi'in. And this is what we have as a duty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his holy book, he uses this. He says in several occasions, فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا. Allah tells them or grabs them from where they don't expect it. And the very important element that a person should observe in Jihad of Tabin is relying on your true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you saw your duty, when you see what your duty is, rely on Allah, rely on your true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go into action. These are very brief outlines of what the Supreme Leader has been mentioning with regards to the Jihad of Tabrin, which I believe today is very, very important for us to understand these different aspects of Jihad of Tabrin and the Jihad of Clarification in order to act according to our duty in this time in age. I would end my speech with a very beautiful narration from Imam Hadi alayhi salam, our holy 10th Imam. This narration has been narrated by Ibn Sikkit. He's a very senior Shia scholar at the time of Imam Hadi and Imam Jawad alayhi salam. He was very senior, very respectable, and he was one of the very erudite ulama scholars in Arabic literature and in different fields of Islamic knowledges, Islamic sciences. Ibn Sikkit is a very famous alim. He was murdered by Mutawakkil, the Khalifa, the Abbasi Khalifa. And the reason why he was murdered is this. It's been mentioned in Kafi under this riwayah that I will be mentioning. It's been mentioned that once Mutawakkil invited Ibn Sikkin to his presence, and he asked him, who is more respectable for you? He had two sons. Mutawakkil had two sons. They were named Mu'taz and Mu'ayyad. He asked Ibn Sikkin, who is more respectable for you, Mu'ayyad and Mu'taz, my two sons, or Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, the two sons of the Holy Prophet? Ibn Sikkin said in reply, the slave of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Qambar, he is more worthy of respect, he is more honorable, he is more respectable than you yourselves and all your sons and all your children. This is a kind of Jihad of Tabrin that Ibn Sikkit was carrying out at that time. It's not easy in front of the Khalif coming up with this statement. He said, the slave of Amir al-Mu'mineen is more respectable, is more honorable than yourself and all your children. And there, Mutawakkil ordered his soldiers to cut the tongue of Ibn Sikkit. And there he was martyred out of this brutal action by Mutawakkil. He mentions, Ibn Sikkit has in a narration mentions that I told Imam Hadi alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's addressing Imam Hadi alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he appointed Prophet Musa alayhi salam as the prophet, the miracle that he gave to this holy prophet in order for him to introduce himself to the people was his luminous hand, and also that magical stick that he had. But unlike Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa alayhi salam came up with another miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His miracle was to cure the ill. He used to bring to life the dead, and he used to cure the ill. And at the time of the Holy Prophet of Islam, another miracle was delivered by this Holy Messenger of Islam, and that was the Holy Quran. What is the reason for this differences between the miracles that these holy prophets and these messengers come for the people? Imam Hadi alayhi salam tells him that at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the issue and the subject that was so famous and was so popular amongst the people was magic.
was magicians. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to convince the hearts of the people, to show them His power and to show them His grace and His truthness, He told Prophet Musa, He gave this miracle to Prophet Musa in order to convince the hearts of the people for the truth, the truthfulness of the message of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Likewise, at the time of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, what was very popular amongst the people was the science of tib, curing the people. So this was the miracle that was given to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. At the time of the Holy Prophet of Islam, what was very famous was poetry and literature. So the Holy Prophet Islam came up with this miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Ibn Sakit asks Imam Hadi alayhi salam, إن الله بعث في وقت كان الغالب على أهل عصره القدر والكلام فما الحجة على الخلق اليوم. Today, what is the proof for the people that we should show to the people in order for them to come to the word of Allah, to come to the way and the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Imam tells him in reply, العقل يعرف به الصادق على الحقيف يصدق. Today, what you need to present towards people is intellect, which I think is the same duty that we have today. Jihad of Tabyin is through intellect, through precise explanation of the values of Islam. The same duty and the same, I think, atmosphere is present in our time as well. Imam Hadi alayhi salam tells Ibn Sakit that through aql, you're able to convince the people and to show them the right path. And through haqq, through aql, and through intellect, you're able to show them the wrong from the right, the wrong path from the right path. So today our duty is to use this faculty of intellect amongst the people to do jihad of clarification and to show them the right path of Islam and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us His forgiveness in this holy night and to help us to follow the footsteps of our holy imams and holy a'imma alayhimus salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad كما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.